And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she has rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, fill to her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner of vessels and ivory and all manners of vessels of most precious wood and brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointment and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from you. And all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by the sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on her head and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in one hour she is made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall the great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more. And the voice of harpers and of musicians and of pipers and of trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in you. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in you. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. For by their sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. Father, help me this morning with this. Back to the first verse. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. First of all, that second word has a problem with it. After these things. King James always is putting things futuristic or historically. The word is meta. It literally means in the midst of these things. So amid these things, or in the midst of these things, he saw this thing come to pass. We want to see the book of Revelation is laid out in perfect form. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, all the way through chapter 22. It don't happen that way. He saw a vision, and in the midst of this vision, he was explaining things that he saw. And at the same time when he saw this, he saw other things, and he would go off and tell about these things. And then he'd come back and tell about this thing. It was a great vision he saw. He only had one vision. But he had to take 22 chapters here, what we've got set up, to tell about all of it. So it all wasn't put out in perfect form like we want it to be. We have to understand by the Spirit is what he saw. He got the vision of the whole thing. Okay? He just revealed it to us as he could speak it. He said, in the midst of these things, I saw another angel. What's the angel? It's a messenger. Come down from where? Spirit realm. Having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now tell me who that angel was. It was the Christ. Everybody wants to call him Jesus. But see, I'm going to call him the Christ because he was a flesh body just like you. And the Christ that came down was what was within him. See, the Christ came from heaven to earth. Jesus did not come from heaven to earth. Jesus was formed in the earth as a flesh man where he came from. Christ came from above and he came and got in an earth body. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's where people are seeing things wrong. They're worshiping the Jesus, the flesh man, just like you and I. That's what's wrong with church. But what we're supposed to worship is the Christ that came from God down to earth and was formed into this body. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, let's get that clear. Now we can go on. We're talking about the Christ. I'm going to give you a list of scriptures, and you can look them up later, all right? Luke 2 and 32. John chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 9. John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 9, verse 5. And John chapter 12, verse 46. And all of these have to do with Jesus being the light that came down from heaven to light every man that comes into this world. So who's the light? The Christ. Okay? So the Christ has come down to light every man. True? You could go into Matthew. Let's go all the way back into... Let's go back a ways. Let's go back in the Old Covenant. Let's see a pattern of this. When Moses went on the mountain to talk to God, right? Christ is God. Is that true? When Moses went in the presence of God and he told him to turn your back, let me just pass by you, what happened to Moses? He was enlightened. His face glowed so much he had to wear a veil over his face. People couldn't even look on him when he came down from the mountain. Right? Matthew 16:17-17, I think it's worth the Mount of Transfiguration, they call it. Jesus was on the mountain. What happened to him? He was transfigured into a form of light they couldn't even look at. They just see the bright light. When Paul was on the road to Damascus and he was hit by the Spirit, what did he say happened? A great light shined from above. See? God. Not necessarily meaning the light was up there in the air. It just means it was a higher form that lighted him up. It was the Spirit. It was not the flesh. Okay? So that's all I'm just showing here. This angel, this messenger is the Christ. And you don't have to look too far to see him. You don't have to look too far to see him. Because if you see the Christ, you can see the light. And that light will light you up, believe me. And he cried, and this is the Christ crying, okay? The Christ cried mightily in a strong voice saying what? Babylon is fallen. What is Babylon? We did this last week. Confusion, but what does it represent? It's the soulish system in us. See, the female side, her, the Babylon, the woman, my woman. Because my woman, from the onset, is not faithful to my man, Christ. Okay? My woman, my soul is not faithful to my man Christ. That makes me what? A Babylonian whore. My soul. See? I'm trying to identify something. We're not talking about a prostitute. We're talking about the principle of not being faithful to my man. And my husband is who? It's the Christ. Okay? So now, the Christ is calling out, saying, Babylon. And Babylon is who again? Now tell me. It's the soul. So Christ is telling you, that realm is over with. The soulish realm is a duality realm. Would you agree to that? Okay. When the soul was formed, we go all the way back to Genesis, and it says in Genesis 1, He created, first of all, the first fruits in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Or He created the first fruit. Okay? And then in 1 and 26, He said, let us create man in our image. He was talking to the first fruit, who He had already created, and said, let us make man in our image. He turns around in 2 and 7 and forms man out of the dust of the earth. Right? And then He breathes His breath, or the same word as nephesh, is soul. I mean spirit. He put His spirit into that flesh man. So we have flesh and we have spirit. True or false? God put them together. Is that mixture? Hello? Mixture. Confusion. Soulish. So He put that in there and they became a what? A living soul. See, so the soul is a realm of mixture. God created it, but He wants us to understand it. When we understand it, we can overcome that soulish realm and walk into the heavenlies. Because we can't walk into the heavenlies in that soulish realm. Okay? So it is fallen, right? Now, when He said, is fallen, that meant at the time He was speaking this, John was in a vision and he saw something. Oh God, I hope you can see this. Can you see what John saw? He saw the Christ. Okay? He saw all the way back to when Adam and Eve was in the garden. And what? No. Watch. He saw the woman, the soul, Eve, being deceived. There's the confusion. He saw that. He saw her fall. He saw Adam in his bad state. He saw him make the wrong choices out of his emotions, his mind, will, and emotions, rather drawing from the Christ that was within him, from the God that was with him. He chose to go to his natural side. He saw Eve, the soul, make the decision. Can you see this? He saw the woman go down. Babylon has fallen down. He saw her go down. But then I think he saw something else. In this whole picture, he saw the Christ on the cross. And guess what? When He died on the cross, then it comes back to, it is finished. See, because when Christ died on the cross, the one was done away with. See, the one's dead now, isn't he? The last Adam is dead. That soulish realm has been done away with. It's not there no more. See, He already took care of it. It happened right on the cross. And He said, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. There's your witness. It has fallen twice. And is become, and the reason I told you the part first back in the garden, because He said, is become what? A habitation of what? A habitation of devils or demons, and the hold of every demonic spirit, and the cage, or literally the holding or the prison of every unclean or hateful bird. Every demonic bird. So, see, when the soul fell in the Garden of Eden, then the mind began to imagine. And it created every kind of demonic influence you can think of. Okay? Now we can say, well, Jesus cast out devils, didn't He? Well, you know why? Because it was full of them. The mind is where all this stuff is created. I don't believe in demons and devils. The only ones I believe in is the ones you create. Did you hear me? Because I believe they're real when you create them. In your mind, you create these things. See? When you give place to it, there it is. I have cast demons and devils out of untold numbers of people. But I didn't understand either. It was a growing process for me. Sometimes I still have to do that because that's where people are at. They understand and they think demons and devils are reality. That's because of where they're at the time. Okay? But when you come to understand, just like Des said last week, the week before last, what was it? It's been a week? Whatever. I don't know. It's been a long time. There's only one spirit in the earth. It's God's spirit. Everything else is created in the imagination of humanity. See? So the only demons and devils I believe in is the ones I see you create in your mind. That's all. And even if you create them, I know that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. See, I know in Luke he said he gives me power over all the power of the enemy. That's you. You've got to understand. You have power over that. You don't have to let your imagination run off and create these things. Take everything, every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Casting down every what? Imagination. See, there's where it's created in your imagination. Casting down every imagination and every high thought that exalts itself against the what? The knowledge of God. If we can get a hold of this thing, we don't have to listen to all this stuff. Take hold of this mind. Put on the mind of Christ. Why does he keep telling you this? If you have the mind of Christ, you'll not create demons and monsters in your head. You can't do it because it's the mind of Christ. Do you think he was concerned about demons and devils? They were all around him. You think he couldn't recognize it? People had them created everywhere. The man Legion had thousands in him. He didn't bother him. He just walked down the street when they pop up. He said, "Get behind me. Go away." He didn't need those things. He only dealt with the ones that got in his way. You don't have to go looking for them. There's plenty of them. And there's going to be people manufacturing them in their head from now on until the time of this realm is over. Don't worry about them things. Because, now look at verse 3. Because all what? What is a nation? We're not talking about countries here. We're talking about minds. We're talking about, this is an internal teaching. True or false? This whole book is written as a teaching internally what's going on in our lives. So this is an imagination. This is a mind. Because all minds have done what? They have drunk of the wine of the wrath of whose fornication? See, I have partaken of my woman's wine, her understanding about her. And you know what? She says, she tells me she's a lovely thing. She tells me how lovely she is, how sweet she is, and just a lie with her. I'd go in Proverbs 7 and read you that one about the harlot. Oh, she's got her bed prepared and just says, "Come and lie with me. The good man's gone away. He won't be back for a while." Come on. Doesn't your woman tell you that? It's in here. It's inside of us. We're talking about our soul and our minds. And we've all partaken of this thing. Every one of us has partaken of it. It said, all minds have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her unfaithfulness. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication in her. Now, in the midst of her. Kings of the earth. Who are we talking about? No. Let me show you something. No. We're talking about covenants. Covenants, dust, sand, stars. Who's the ones on the earth? Dust and the sand. Wonder who the ones that's called kings of the earth. I'm going to tell you, I'm not talking to kings of the earth today. I'm talking to kings of the heavenlies. I'm talking about the kings of the stars. We're not talking about this dust and earth thing. Dust and sand. We're talking about the heavenlies. So these kings that are kings of the earth that committed fornication with her, who are we talking about? The first two covenants, the people in the religious systems. That's the ones. So in my mind, if I stay in Passover or I stay in Pentecost, I'm still a king of the earth. Do you understand what I'm saying? I have to ascend to the heavenlies. I have to be seated in heavenly places in Christ. As long as I stay in Passover or Pentecost, I'm not going to be a heavenly king. Isn't that your call? If Christ is seated in the heavenlies, where do you have to go? Okay. I can't stay in this earthly realm because I'll be merchandised. And the merchants of the earth, this is the ones that live in that Passover Pentecost realm. We got to go to Tabernacles. We got to go to Mount Zion, the highest place. Okay? Are waxed rich from the power of her luxuries. You don't believe it. I defy you to find a church that's truly in Tabernacles that's much larger than what we are right here. You're not going to see it. Because the luxuries go in the first two realms. They stay in the earth. I defy you to find Jesus to be living in a big palace with all the delicacies of the world. Did he? He would have been born in some big fancy palace, but he was born where? In a sheep shed. He was born in an old sheep shed. He didn't have the things of this world because they're not important. And as long as the church world puts their focus upon their buildings, on their big pointy things on top, and how many chairs they get in there, and how many people they can get in there, and how many classrooms they can have, and how many people they can entice to come to buy their wares, if that's important, guess what? You've not got anything. See? God's not interested in those things. I'm not interested in those things. You need to not be interested in those things. You need to be interested in what God is doing in your life, not all this stuff that they want to offer you in the world. And I heard another voice from heaven, from the spirit realm, saying, "Come out of her." Who's he talking about? Well, no, we're going to talk about the realms here of the soul, dust and sand. See? Come out of those first two realms. In order that you be not partakers of her sins. We're talking about the soulish realm. The soul covers Passover, Pentecost. The dust and the sand. See, come out of her. There's three women, isn't there? Okay. Orpah, Naomi, and Ruth. We've got to go to Ruth. Possibly, yes. Possibly, yes. I never put the tie with it, but possibly, yes. But he heard this from the Spirit, and come out of her in order that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her what? Plagues. See, the only way I am going to get out of this, and now this is what the church is teaching. You got to fly away to heaven so you don't have to die, or you got to die to fly away to heaven, one or the other. So you don't get partakers of all these bad people's punishment and sin, right? We're not talking about bad people. We're talking about the bad that's in each and every one of us that has to go away, first and foremost. And he says here, watch. He says, come out of her, and we're talking about the soulish realms. Hear me? Come out of those soulish realms so you won't receive of her sins, you won't be partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her calamities. The only way you're going to come out of this stuff is come out of the dust and the sand. When you come out of the dust or the sand and you're seated in the heavenlies, tell me what kind of punishment Christ is going through today. Is God being punished for anything? Who could punish Him? If we're seated in heavenly places in Christ, we cannot receive that stuff, can we? If I have the mind of Christ on me, that's the only way I can get into the heavenlies. True? If I have the mind of Christ on me, then how in the world could I be thinking like the dust in the sand? Because I'm thinking with the star mind, the star covenant. Listen to this stuff. We've got to come out of the dust and the sand. Nothing wrong with the dust and the sand. They're stepping stones. I'm standing in the dust. I take the first step. There's my dust. My second step is in the sand. And the third step, I go into the heavenlies, the stars. That's all. It's a progression. Nothing wrong with any of them. You can't stay there. See? He said, come out of them. Only one place you can stay, and that's in the heavenlies, in the star covenant. Anything else, you're a partaker of the soulish realm. Verse 5, because her sins, or the soulish sins, have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered what? Her iniquities. Okay? And whose iniquities has he remembered? See, all the way back to Eve, when Adam's soul disobeyed. He went back to all of them. But see, there's another passage in there, and I can't quote the scripture right now, but it says that when the priest went across the River Jordan, which is the descender or death, when they stepped into the water carrying the presence of God, and that speaks of the first fruit, carrying the presence of God, that's us, when they stepped into death, guess what happened? The water backed up, stopped, and they walked across on dry ground. And that water backed up from here all the way back to Adam, a town called Adam. So you know what? When he's remembering her sins from the beginning, he remembers that that water, the Word, backed all the way up to the town called Adam, and guess what it did? It took care of that and cleansed that town too. All the way back to Adam. When Jesus died on the cross, it went all the way back to Adam. Every bit of it. And got him too. Verse 7. 6? I'm sorry. I was looking right at it and said 7. Reward her, the soul, even as the soul rewarded you. And double unto the soul, double according to the soulish works, in the cup which the soul hath filled, fill to the soul double. Could you understand what I'm saying? Yes. But we're talking about this thing here. See, the soul inside of me, my woman. So just going back to her, double what she's done to us. Now verse 7. How much she, the soul, has glorified herself. See what the soul is going to do for you? She's going to get you looking at self. It's not about self, is it, Keith? It's about the Christ. It's about the Christ that's at the very center of your being. That's who you are. You're Christ on the earth today. It's not about Keith or Ed or anybody else or Bob or Bill. It's about the Christ. It's all it's about. And this woman that I have within me, like you have within you, she's okay as long as she's in her place. And don't take that as some male chauvinistic statement. I'm talking about my soul. Because my woman is not my wife sitting over here. It's what's inside of me. This is an internal thing. My woman has to be in proper order with her husband, the Christ. Do you hear me? She has to deal with her man and her woman too, just like everyone else. But she has lived glorified, you know, how much the soul has glorified herself soullessly and lived what? Luxuriously. So much what? This word torment again is touchstone. So much of a test give her. The touchstone is a test to see how much gold is worth. It checks the quality of gold or silver. It's a rough, siliceous stone that they rub gold or silver on, and it shows how good a gold it is. See? So God says, test the soul the same way she's done you. Check her. Give her double what she's give you. Check her double. See how good she is. You know what I mean? Hang on to this. It's just a test. See, God's not trying to kill her. Your soul, trying to bring her into submission to her husband. That's all. Just line things up. And sorrow, this torment or this touchstone, and sorrow or grief, give to her the soul. Because the soul says in the soul's heart, I sit a queen and am no widow. You know what she's really saying? My old man ain't dead. Uh-oh. My book says the old man's dead. My book says the Christ, the Jesus that came on the face of the earth, he was the last Adam. Is that right? If the last Adam died 2,000 years ago, that tells me the old man is what? He's dead. But yet my soul wants to hang on to it, and in them first two covenants, the dust and the sand, they're going to teach you that the old man's still alive in you. They're going to tell you to blame him. See, I got something better than that. I'm going to tell you the old man's dead. And the best thing you can do is with a dead body is bury it. Because it stinks. And that's exactly what the church is producing today. You don't believe it? Read Isaiah chapter 5. He said when he looked for fruit to come forth, it brought forth poisonous, stinking berries. The church's fruit today is flesh. Because flesh can only produce flesh. Seed produces like kind. So if the Spirit of Christ is speaking, it can only reproduce the Christ. And if my mind, my soulish realm is speaking, I'm only going to reproduce that soulish, fleshly stink. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to get excited here. I ain't even got started yet. She says, I'll sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow or grief. See, that's the denial that's in the church today. It's a denial. They want to hold on to the man. See, but they want to hold on to Adam. They want to hold on to the old man, but the new man is Christ. In Galatians 4, if I'm not mistaken, it says, as long as the first man... Let me go to Galatians 4. I want to do it right. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to quote something and mess somebody up. I said that's Galatians 4. Maybe I'm wrong. Let me look one more place. It's in Romans. Let me look one more place if I'm right in Romans. It's Romans chapter 7. Excuse me. Romans chapter 7. Sometimes when things are going through my head so fast, it's hard to keep track of it. So grant me a little mercy here in grace. Romans chapter 7, huh? Okay, thank you. Verse 2. Romans chapter 7, verse 2. For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he what? But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she's called a what? Okay, unfaithful. But if her husband is dead, she's free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Look what he says. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that we should be married to another. See what he's telling us? See, I'm not married to my old man anymore. As long as my old man is alive in my thinking process and I try to hold on to Christ, what am I? What? I'm an adulteress. I'm unfaithful. But I have to realize my old man's dead, put him in the grave, and get married to my husband. I'm free to marry my husband now, see? And Christ came and did that. He gave us that opportunity to marry our husband, our real husband. Not just a bag of dirt, okay? Let's go back to Revelation. Again, I just wanted to show you that point there. I didn't want to get it off. It's so easy in our minds when we read so many translations of the Bible and when we try to teach this and we're looking at the languages, it's so easy, and that's why I continually go back to the Scripture so I don't misquote something. Because easily I could say a word or miss something and say it in the wrong place. Many times I might miss an address of a verse or something, but it's not intentional. We can do it. So that's why I'm always going back and keep this close at hand. I don't go too far from it. Okay, so the denial that the church teaches is that the old man's still alive. Everything that goes on in your life, who do they blame it on, Mike? It's out there. Okay. It's out there. Somebody out there made me do it. It's never in here. But here's what made me do it. I can't do anything without first thinking about it in my head. Whether I even conscious or not of what I thought of, it went through my thinking process, didn't it? Everything I do comes through this thing up here, doesn't it, Bob? Whether I consciously realize it or not, I think about it before I perform whatever I do. Okay. So how can I blame somebody out there for something I did that I thought of in here? Justifying is just a lying, isn't it? Come on. Don't get too serious on me. Just listen. Therefore, verse 8, or because of this, what it literally says, because of this, shall her, the soul, the soul's calamities, arrive in what? Now, this isn't right. One, wrong word. It's the first. Therefore shall the calamities arrive in the first day. Hello, catch me. Did anybody catch that? First day, second day.
Third day.
Come on. So when's the calamities going to arrive? No.
First day.
First day. Come on, that's all right. Look at me. Listen to me. I want you to hear this. I want you to go back in your walk since you have come to God. When did your troubles start? Huh? As soon as you start, I'm not talking about your life. I'm talking about when you start trying to serve God, there's where your trouble comes. And see, the language says the troubles come in the first day. All those calamities come in the first day. And see, the church says, oh, just come to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. And everything will be a big rose garden. That's your woman talking. That's your woman talking. Come and sleep with me. Lie in my bed. The good man's gone. Don't worry about it. We can just take our delight. See? That's the woman talking to you. But God says, no. Realize that I have done the work. It's not what you've done. I have already finished it. Oh, God.
That calamity, that's Mm-hmm. But mine has plagues.
It's calamities.
Now, that ain't the same thing as it was in chapter 16 where you said
calamities.
Plagues.
Same word. Mm-hmm. Comes in the first day, don't it? Absolutely. Well, did you hear what I just said in Romans 7? The law. The law. See, the law goes with that woman. The woman's in the law. She is the law. Okay. Help me, where am I at? Okay. In one day, or in the first day, death and mourning, or literally grief. Death comes in the first day. And grief. And famine. This is not a famine of food, it's a famine of the word. In the first day, there's a famine. Well, you go talk to the people that's in Passover position, what will they tell you? Oh, we have the word of the Lord. You go to Pentecost and say, we have the word of the Lord. He said there's a feast in the earth, didn't he? There's a famine, not a feast. There's a famine in the land, in the earth. In the earth is where the famine is. There has never been a famine in the star realm. Never been a famine in the heavenly realm. The famine's always been in the earth. Always been in the earth. There's always been a famine because the people that live in the earthly realms have no comprehension of what the Spirit of God is saying. What did Paul say? Natural man receives not the things of the Spirit because they are what? Spiritually discerned. See, the man that lives in the dust and the earth, they cannot understand. They cannot understand because they are spiritually discerned. I have to ascend to the heavenlies. I have to go into the heart, to the stars. Why did he say so many times, put on the mind of Christ, if it wasn't necessary to put on the mind of Christ? God's not going to tell us to do something that's not worthwhile. That's just a waste of time, would he? Would he, Ed? We need the mind of Christ. And the only way we're going to know the mind of Christ is know Him and His Word. And through that, He's going to reveal everything else we need to know. I can't give you everything that God wants you to have. I can only give you an outline. I can only lead you so far, and then the Spirit of God in you has got to rise up and take a hold of the rest of it. See, I'm not going to be one that says, I have everything. That would be a lie. Because there's some of Christ in each one of us. And each one of us has that little piece that'll hook together and make us stronger. I can't have it all. God never put all these eggs in one basket. He put it into Christ. Some will say, well, He put it in Jesus, all of it. No, that man Jesus was the Christ in Him. And that same Christ is within us. So He didn't put it in one basket. He put it in a whole bunch of baskets. And she, the soul, shall be utterly what? In what? Burned in fire. Everybody thinks that's a bad thing. Fire purifies. She's going to be purified. Just as surely as Adam died for his woman. Same parallel of Christ dying on the cross for his bride, the church. I'll guarantee you, your soul will be redeemed. Jesus said this, if a man save his soul, he shall what? But if he gives up his soul or loses his soul, what will he do? You know why? Because she's going to be brought back. See? That soul is not a worthless thing. It's just something that's a lot of confusion and deception right now. Because we don't understand her, and she's not in submission to her man. Okay? You can draw a whole lot of parallels off of there. Because strong is the Lord God that judges her. God, help us understand judgment. Help us understand judgment. Judgment is not punishment. It's not torment. It's not beating us up. It's not killing us. It's not setting us on fire and burning us literally. It's changing the way we think. And sometimes it takes some hard knocks on our head to make us think right, don't it? See? We have to realize that God is going to consume everything out of us that is not Him. See? As long as we have the dust and we have the Spirit of God mixed together in that mixture realm of the soul, it's not pure God. The only way I can get into the heavenlies is get rid of that dust stuff that He put me in. And say, He put us there. It's not my fault that I was put there. I didn't ask for it. God chose to put me in there. But I've got to come out of there. I've got to get rid of all that separation, all that mixture, separate all that stuff out. And I've got to walk in Spirit. because God is spirit. And when I walk in spirit, or you walk in spirit, guess where you walk? You walk in a place Isaiah said was a highway that lions can't walk there. And even vultures can't fly there. It's a higher way. See, they can't get there. And people will always say, when you walk on this highway, you're crazy. You don't make no sense. Well, I don't to dust, I guarantee you. But in the heavenlies, there's a lot that they don't understand. Paul said the natural man wouldn't understand this, so don't worry about it. Verse 9, and the kings of the earth, who is that? That's the ones that the kings are. This is the rulers. Now, who are we talking about? Leadership. People that live in this dust realm. People that merchandise the people. This is the leadership in the church realms, isn't it? Oh my. We'll see a lot of that every day. The kings of the earth, the ones who choose to live in the dust and the sand, have what? They have been unfaithful. They committed fornication, have been unfaithful, and have lived deliciously where? In the midst of her. Meta, in the midst of her. And it says, and lived deliciously with her, shall bewail her, and lament for her, the soul, when they shall see the smoke of her burning. The flesh is going to cry out for their woman. See? Notice this, the flesh ain't never going to cry for the man. Flesh always wants the woman. Why? Because she's going to tickle their ears. Come lie with me. I'm beautiful. I'm sweet. I've got my bed decked with aloes and myrrhs and all these sweet-smelling incense. Come and sleep with me. That's what she's saying. And you can do anything you want. We'll have our... Just take our delights. Do anything we want. See, that's all going on in here. And all she's doing is seducing the Christ in you. Sorry, I ain't going there. I'm not going there. They want that woman. It says, and they shall see the smoke, right, of her burning. That's the trials. It's testing her for her character. That touchstone again. It's testing her for character. And you know, the woman, the soul, don't have a lot of character. She don't have a lot of character. Women, don't take this the wrong way. We're not talking about women. We're talking about the soul. The soul has no character. First time I saw that picture hanging over here on the wall, I fell in love with it. Character is who you are when no one is watching but God. And the woman says, he ain't watching. He's went off on a long journey. Come on, lay with me. That's what the woman will tell you. But see, my man is standing. And your man should be standing in your heart saying, no, no, no way. Verse 10. It said they're standing afar off. What? It says, for the fear. It says they're standing off, far off. The word for there is the Greek word dia, and it means through. They're standing far off through fear. They're afraid to get next to her because her judgment's come. See? Getting away from her. Through the fear of her, the soul's torment. And that word torment again is touchstone, through her testings. It's not torment. That's King James language. She's being tested to prove to her what her problems are. Do you understand? Testing is for one thing. It's not to show you how stupid you are. A test is given to you to show you how much you have comprehended and learned. Is that right? A test isn't to make you look stupid, show how little you know. It's to show you how much you do know. It's not a negative thing, although our society has made it negative. It's to show you how much you've grown. That's what the test is for. And she cries out, they cry out, the merchant men, the kings of the earth, they cry out and say what? Alas, alas, literally it's woe, woe. Woe, woe. The language says woe, W-O-E. The word woe means pain, grief, and suffering. See, and the flesh is going through all kinds of pain, grief, and suffering because, see, this woman, let me put it another term. lost my finances. I've lost my money, haven't I? See? And this is what it is. The kings of the earth are the pimps. And they're pimping her. And when they see her going down, they say, whoa, 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 pain, grief, and suffering. That great city, the Babylonian whore, the mighty city, because in 1 hour is thy what? The word here is crisis in the Greek, and it means justice. Her justice appeared in 1 hour. It's not talking about 60 minutes. It's talking about quickly. If a day is 1,000 years, what's an hour? It's nothing in God's time. So they merchandise the gospel. That's what this is about. I'm not going to break all this down. The gold and the silver. Gold, God, silver, redemption. Precious stones, that's and pearls, suffering, and fine linen, the righteousness. Purple and silk, that's the righteousness again. And trying to think of another word there, what it is. Oh well, I'm not going to get into that too much. And scarlet, and all your fine wood. What is that? Wood. It's a good wood. It's a good humanity. All the good humanity. Okay. And vessels of ivory. That's beauty. And all manner of vessels of the most precious wood, which is the first fruit. The most precious. The first fruit. And of brass. That's the strength and endurance. No, that's not right. It is strength and endurance. And iron speaks of inflexibility, inflexible rule, no compromise. Didn't he say that his people would rule with a rod of iron? See, it's not they're going to beat everybody up, but he's going to break the vessels of what? What did he say? He's going to break what vessels? Of clay. Clay is flesh. See, not going to destroy people, but he's going to destroy the flesh so the spirit can rise up out of it. Okay? Sure. Well, everything in this mind of clay to come out of the flesh thinking is going to be destroyed. It's internal. And marble. And it speaks of their kingdom beauty. And cinnamon. That's the fragrances. And odors, incense. And ointments of myrrh for suffering. And frankincense. That's the incense tree. And wine, the revealing teaching. And oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and the souls of men. All these things is what they dealt in. But see, they weren't dealing with the spiritual truths of these things. They were making merchandise of spiritual things that God gave us. And they were selling them. And freely we received, and freely we should give. And the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from you, and all things which were what? Literally, sumptuous and magnificent are departed from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The soul lost all of her dainties. You know why? Because the one is dead. The man's dead. And whenever this woman is revealed that she's no longer married to that man, when you find out you're no longer married to that man in you, your woman's not married to Adam any longer. Who's she married to? When you find that out, you know what? You'll start loving your husband, and you'll find out all this other stuff will just pass away because your obedience is to your husband. See? Not talking about the natural. We're talking about spiritual stuff. And the merchants of these things which were made rich by her, the soul, shall stand afar off because, or through the fear of her torment, that's her testings again, and weeping and wailing or grieving. Now, why did they stand afar off? These people that want to live in this soulish realm, why do they want to stand off? Why do they get way far away from her? Now, at one time, they wanted to sleep with her. They wanted to be intimate with her because she was paying off. They was pimping her real good. But guess what? They know what they deserve. They got guilt and condemnation all over them. That's where the fear comes from. How could I be afraid of God if I've done nothing wrong? I know I stand before God as a righteous man or a righteous woman. Why would I be afraid of my father? Why? I bought into her line. I've been playing with my woman. Huh? My woman's been playing with the wrong man. the merchants, oh, we got that, 15, 16, and saying, alas, alas, there it is, woe, woe again. Woe, woe, pain, grief, and suffering. That great city, Babylon. And you know what? The reason they call it the great city? Because Babylon was a very great city. This is the analogy. It was a walled city. It had a high wall, 50, 60 foot built around. Great, huge, impenetrable wall nearly. Okay? Nearly impenetrable. Okay? Just like our minds. Our minds built up that wall in Babylon. It's nearly impenetrable, isn't it? You think that's a coincidence? Why do you think he used that city? People at that day thought that city would never perish because it had such an armament built around it. Man, I mean, it was so many miles across that city, it was probably big as Columbus, or bigger. That city, that river run right through it, and they thought, we've got water, we can grow all our crops inside, anybody can attack us, they want from the outside, and nobody can get us. See? Except the Christ. And we can build up that Babylonian wall as high as we want to between our ears, and Christ can take it down in how long? In 1 hour, her judgment has come. In a very short time. That'll make you happy. Oh, verse 17. Is that where I'm at? No, 16 yet. That was clothed in fine linen, right? That's in the righteousness. But see, in Isaiah 4, it says there was, in that day, there'd be seven women that take hold of one man. If they only let us wear our own apparel and eat our own bread so they can take away our reproach. See, they don't want God's righteousness and they don't want God's word. All they want to do is be called, just call me a Christian. How about that? That'll make me feel good. See, there's the woman talking to you. Right? She wore that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet. That's the sins are still there. See, she was robed in linen, the righteousness, and purple, the royalty, and she had scarlet. Guess what? She was decked in gold and precious stones and kingship, right? And pearls for all this. They all formed in suffering, all this thing going on. But there's one thing that woman was decked with, that soul. What's decked with there shouldn't be? Sin. Sin. Right? Verse 17. Because in 1 hour, so great a riches has come to naught. You know how long it takes for you to realize that all the riches that this woman inside of you can give you is nothing? All you've got to do is have that great light we talked about in the first verse. And he's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. That ought to make people happy. But as soon as that light has come down from the heavenly realm to the earthly realm and lights up this earth, right there, all the things she has to offer has come to naught that quickly. All it takes is a revealing of the Christ in you. And no longer does the things of this world mean anything. We got a song we sing here. Everything grows dim in the light of you. I like to sing it this way. Everything grows dim in the light of him. Christ takes care of all of it. You can't see anything. He's so bright that the other things just start fading away. And all of a sudden you can't see. There's nothing else in your life. And you don't even have a choice in this matter. He put the light there. And you don't have any choice. It's mesmerizing. When you see him, the beauty of the light, you can't get away from it. There's no way to get away from it. It just draws you in. Like these bug zappers they put up in the draws the bugs in. They can't even quit. They know they're going to die and they're in there. But I don't care as long as I'm in him. Don't care. I just don't care. And every shipmaster and all the company of ships, what is a ship? It's a vessel. It's made out of wood. That's humanity. It's a human vessel that's traveling in the sea, the water, which is humanity. Right? So all these ships that's traveling in the sea, and even the ones that think they're shipmasters, you hear what I said? Think they're shipmasters, they think they're masters. And all the company and ships and sailors, as many as do what? Trade by the sea, or literally they trade in humanity. They're buying and selling. They're buying and selling. They're in slave trade today. The church is still doing it. It's slave trade. They buy and sell humanity. That's what the woman does. She buys and sells you. Everybody gets hooked up with her, does the same thing. They're a bunch of pimps. And I know when I say that and people hear what I just said, most of the churches are a bunch of pimps. And I'm sorry if that offends somebody, that's the truth. I'm not pointing to a certain church and saying that. I'm saying the religious system that's been built into us by this religious system that man has created a bunch of pimps prostituting a bunch of Babylonian whores. Does that offend anybody? Okay. That's good. Verse 18. And cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? You know what? Boys, when you lose the worldly drawing, it's hard. You think it's easy to walk away from the world with all it has to offer? With all the finance and all the riches and the wealth and how much you can minister to your flesh and your soul? You think it's easy that anybody can just say, oh, I'll just walk away and just go over here and serve God? No, it's going to draw on you. Don't you think it's not going to draw on you? There's not but two things that caused any man or woman to ever fall in those scriptures. What is it? Sex and money. Things of this world. Sex and money. Every prophet or prophetess that ever failed in this book, that the history book shows, it shows it in historical form, every one of them was for wealth and riches or sex. That's it. That's all it is. So every one of them went for that reason. So don't think for a minute that that world doesn't have a draw on you. The Bible even says sin is pleasure for what? A season. But ask the homosexual once he has AIDS if that was cool then. It won't be so cool when they're dying of AIDS. All these things that the world draws, sure they're tough. But if it was easy, wouldn't everybody be there? God's looking for first fruit. And that means we're going to give up something. What do I have in my life that's worth more to me than God? Okay. That's the question you've got to ask. You've got to ask that question. And you've got to answer it. Not me. It's not my place to judge anybody. But I'll tell you what you got to say. You've got to say nothing. But if there's anything in your life that means more to you than God and what He's doing in your life, then you need to reevaluate it. Okay? And they cast dust upon their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, woe, woe, that great city wherein we were made rich, all that had ships in the sea of humanity by reason of her magnificence, because in 1 hour she is made desolate. See, they're still weeping about what they lost. But you know what? That shows me a heart that's not really after God. Because when I lose what my woman has offered to me, all that confusion, what should I be seeing? The only opposite of light is what? The only opposite of darkness is... So when the darkness went out and my woman was exposed and now I realize that it's the man I'm after is the Christ, I'm not after this woman that's trying to lead me astray to another man, the only thing I can see is who? Well, you know, a lot of people don't even want that. Hard to imagine that. But they don't. They don't. All they're worrying about is what they lost. Well, you know what? I don't think we lost anything. See? Because if I lost that worldly thing, Christ is more precious than gold and silver and diamonds and jewels and sheep and whatever else. See? All the things that was important to the natural man. That's all this stuff is. But He is worth more than all that. But all they can do is sit around and complain that they lost it. Doesn't that sound familiar? Murmur and complain. Verse 20. Rejoice over her, you heavens, and ye apostles and prophets. What did He say you do? He called you heaven, didn't He? God dwells in heaven. That's where you are. That's what He is. You're heaven. He said, rejoice over her, and you apostles and prophets, because God has what? This word hath avenged, it's got three words in it. Krino, ho, krima. Three Greek words. Literally, because God has chosen the decision. Rejoice because God has chosen that decision. Language tells you a lot of things. Because God has chosen the decision It says, avenged you on her. But literally, it should say, God has chosen the decision from her. Or from her. Literally, he's chose you, and the decision isn't going against you, it's going against her. And a mighty angel took up, right? It says, and literally not a, but one mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone, or a big millstone, and he threw it where? Into humanity, the sea, saying, in this way, in this way with violence, shall the great city Babylon be thrown down. Now, if you took a big millstone, a great big huge millstone, they stand many feet high, a big rolling stone, and threw it in the water, how much of a big violent splash would it make? What does that tell me? How quick did that go down? How quick did that big stone hit the water? Huh? Boosh! I mean, it was violent, it was quick. See, it doesn't mean that there's going to be a whole lot of damage. Just talking about it, it's really quick. With great violence or with great speed or a great violent impulse, that great city Babylon or the confusion of the soul will be thrown down and shall be found no more. Right? I got to look at a verse I got written down here, and right now my mind's not on it, and I got to see it. Okay. Talking again about the souls. Where is that on this? Babylon. This is how quickly it will go down, okay? Matthew 16:26 says this. I'm going to start in verse 24 to get the context of what Jesus was talking about. Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Because whosoever will save his what? It says life, but it literally in the language should say soul. Whosoever save his soul shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his soul for my sake shall find it. Because what is a man, or humanity is what it literally says, anthropos, what is humanity profit if it shall gain the whole cosmos and lose his own soul? And there the word is the same word as it's translated life in verse 25. Same word, psuche. So he said, if you've gained the whole world, the whole cosmos, the orderly arrangement in things, if you've gained everything the world has to offer and you lose your soul, what have you lost? Everything. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Right? You can read the rest of that. I don't want to go there. I want to try to wrap this thing up. Mark 8, verse 36 is also another passage to parallel that. Mark 8, verse 36. It's a parallel passage to that, Matthew 16:26. And it says, the great city of Babylon shall be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. All this confusion is going to be done away with, right? The woman's going to be redeemed. Just like Adam, what he did for her, like Christ done for the church. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in you. Guess what? There's no more what? Worship. Now, he's not talking about in God. He's talking about in the woman, the soulish realm. At all in the soulish realm, in the Babylon. And no craftsman, and all craftsmen of whatsoever craft he be, shall be found no more in you. What's the craftsman? People merchandising things. They're making something out of you to sell. Hey, you got a Revelation 19:95 and plus shipping and handling. You can have that one. Oh, you're a good singer. Well, let's just merchandise you and sell some CDs. See? That's all. It's all in merchandising today. That's not what it's about. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in you. That means the word, the grain being milled. That's the word of God being milled, and it's put out for production. It's not put out to change your life. It's not to give you life. That's why we grind the mill up so we can eat the grain and sustain life, is it not? Bread was the sustenance of life for the people in this day. It was their very livelihood. And they're taking it and they're going to make profit on it. We're talking about in our heart. We're going to produce what we want to make money for us. And that's not what God's wanting us to do. And the light of the candle shall no more shine in you at all. That's the Christ. See? You're not going to have the duality in your life anymore. You're not going to have all this other stuff in there. And the voice of the bridegroom. Who's that? That's the Christ. Literally, when he says there's not going to be any more of that candle in there, there's not going to be no mixture in there anymore. That thing's got to go away. The voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in you. It didn't mean the bridegroom was done away with. It didn't mean the bride was done away with. It means they're not going to be in the soulish realm no more. See, once we realize who she is, what can we do? Come on up. The Spirit's always saying what? Come on up here. Come on up here. He's enticing you to come to the heavenlies. It's all God's trying to show you. This is about enticing you into the heavenlies. Because thy merchants were the great men of who? Of the earth, the dust and sand. These are the great men of reputation. See? And whoever you hold in great esteem in this earth, they're men of the earth. The only man you should hold in esteem, or woman, is the Christ. As long as we esteem somebody as being the great man, you're messing up. You're looking at the wrong thing. And that's your woman selling you a bill of goods. Because it's only the Christ in the men and the women that minister. That's why there's so much problem in the churches today, because everybody's looking, oh, this guy, he's a great preacher. I really like him. Oh, this woman, she's a great preacher. I like her. But I don't like this one. Well, the one you don't like is probably the one that's going to tell you the truth. That's probably the one that's going to tell you the truth. And that's why you don't like them. You'll get over it later. Don't worry. Okay. For the merchants of the were the great men of the earth, that were men of reputation, because by thy what? You know what that word is? Pharmakia. Witchcraft. Literally, by your, see, it's your woman doing this, by your sorceries, witchcraft, it's the Greek word pharmakia. It speaks of idolatry in connection with idolatry. It's the same word we use for pharmacy. That's where we get our word pharmacy. Drugs. You know, changing things in the mind. See, by your sorceries were what? How many nations were deceived? See, anybody on the face of the earth that says they haven't been deceived is lying. We've all been deceived. And we're all deceived by the same one, our woman, our Babylonian whore. Okay? Didn't tell us to cast her out, did it? Didn't say nothing like that. Just we're exposing this thing. Look in this next verse. And in her, in who? In the soul was found the blood of what? And who? And of how many what? And all that were slain upon the earth. In the soul realm was found the blood of the prophets, the saints, and all that were slain upon the earth. There's nobody that's ever died on this earth that didn't die because of that soulless woman. Hello? I didn't write that, did I? Upon, it's a, epi is a word, can't think, it can be used for many, it's a preposition. Well, in the earth. But everybody was slain, they were slain by what? The woman, the soul, the deception that she gave them. I hope I didn't get too far away from you today. I hope you could understand me. Do you get it? Any questions? Now, y'all going to go teach this tomorrow, right?